As most of you know, I have been preaching in Indiana this past week and finished working with the church there in their VBS. And the thing that they wanted me to discuss with them and talk with them about was just evangelism. So it's kind of a good segue for me to go ahead and talk about my trip to Costa Rica. Those things are kind of on my mind right now. And so I thought it would be good for me to go ahead tonight and just give my report on the trip that Sergio and I and others took here just not too long ago. So I want to do that with you tonight. And I want to just ask you this question, first of all. Does evangelism matter? And you might say, well, that's kind of an obvious question. Of course it matters. But if you would answer that, of course it matters, I want you to think for a minute, why does it matter? What's the basic reason why evangelism matters? I just want you to think about that for just a moment. And ask yourself, why is that? And I want you to see if your conclusion about that is the same as my conclusion. There may be several answers to that, but my conclusion is this. If it matters if only unsaved people will go to hell. It matters if that's the case. And if that is the case, then what we've got to do is be committed to the very best of our ability in going and trying to help those who are unsaved to become saved. And that happens, obviously, because people are lost without Christ. And so our objective when we go out and try to spread the gospel and teach the gospel is to encourage people to respond to the gospel. And as we have talked about, that happens a lot of places throughout the world. Others here, Brother Owen and Steve go to Ethiopia. Brother Owen goes every year. Steve goes every other year. So we're involved in that work. We have been involved in this work in Costa Rica now for about 3 years, and I have made 6 trips now to Costa Rica. And we want to talk to you a little bit about that. When I was gone last week, I shared with them the story of how Sergio was converted. It's just an amazing story to me. And I think it speaks directly to the fact that we just never know what can happen when people are willing to talk to somebody about the gospel. Of course, this particular group knows that one day, literally, Walt Hunter got out of his car and just asked a man walking along the street if he'd like to come in and worship. And, of course, that man was Sergio. And Sergio told him, I can't now, but I am going to come. And, of course, you know, you didn't know what to expect, but Sergio came back, and pretty much the rest is history. But now all these opportunities have happened because one man was willing to just simply ask a question. And I think probably if all of us had more of that kind of spirit and attitude, I've known Walt and Louise. Louise is here tonight, and I'm glad she's here. But of course, Walt has now passed. But you know what a remarkable couple in their willingness to talk to people about the gospel for a long time. And I appreciate so much what Walt helped teach me and the encouragement that he gave, and certainly what he has done in terms of initiating that conversation with Sergio and Selah and their family has really helped create what we're going to talk about tonight. So I appreciate that so much. And so, yeah, what we're talking about is important. It continues to be important. All of you understand that. You're helping in ways that you can help. You want to help more, and I understand that, and I certainly do appreciate that. But before I really get started with my report, I want to ask Sergio to say a couple of things to you. And he's wanted to do that and is willing to do that. You know, he's not real confident in his English ability. Of course, I'm not real confident in my English abilities. But you know, he's written it out, and I so very much appreciate his willingness to do it. So I'm going to let him just speak to you here for just a minute, and I'll get back up and talk about it as well.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me a few minutes to speak to you about the trip in Costa Rica. The first thing I would like to say is thank you all to the elders and family in Christ, helping Kenny and I to go. We believe it was a good and productive trip. We really appreciate the support that enabled to go. We had studied with the brothers in Alajuela, Costa Rica, also with a few members of my family. Thank you again. And maybe the highlights of the trip was baptism in Christ of my nephew, Gabriel. I'm sure Kenny will tell you about these things and many others that we did during our week there. Thank you again so much for the opportunity and help. God bless you all. Thank you.
Of course, he and I have talked about our trips a lot, and I know that comes from the bottom of his heart, and you understand that as well. But he's deeply moved by what you've allowed us to do and continue to do it in there, certainly with the help of God. And so we both appreciate that very much. Sergio and Sayla will go back June the 25th and stay for a couple of weeks. Sayla is going to have some surgery down there, and it's much cheaper for them to get that done down in Costa Rica than it is here. So they're going to go down then. So please keep them in your prayers. And just by way of Sergio asked me to mention this, they have a 6-pound dog that needs to be taken care of while they're gone. So if you can help with that, please see them, okay? I wanted to get that out to you as well. I want to let these slides tonight, you've seen some of these slides, but I want the slides to kind of help me direct my thoughts in reference to what I want to say to you. And that will be important. As I said, this is my 6th trip, and really the purposes for us going were, first of all, to try to reach as many in Sergio and Sayla's family as we could with the gospel. And we have tried to do that as we have made these trips. And then we have found other brethren there as well. We found really a good church in Alajuela, and we've been able to make some pretty major inroads there in terms of trying to help them at their request. And so we feel good about what we're trying to do there. On this particular trip, Sergio, of course, went with me. Victor Castellanos and Carrie Keenan, both of whom worship and work at Temple Terrace. With that church, Jack Gagel, who I think I mentioned this morning. Jack owns a business down there and is an elder in the Brandon Church. And then Ken Embry, who worships at the Lost River Church in Bowling Green. These were the men who went with us on this particular trip. This is a picture of us. This is at the airport in San Jose, coming back before we left, coming home. If you know Carrie, you know which one Carrie is. He's the tall one. I'm in the back. Kenny Embry's in the front. Then Jack Gagel's in the middle. Then Sergio and then Victor. And I will tell you that as important as a lot of these men were to our cause, Victor Castellanos, we call him the MVP, because he not only was our translator, and he had to not only translate, he translated for everybody pretty much, and he also was our driver. And that by itself is remarkable in my personal judgment. But we appreciate it so much, Victor, and all these men. And I'll tell you a little bit more about Jack and Ken in just a minute. This is just the first night we got there, Thursday night. The church there met on Thursday and Friday. Some of these are not very good pictures, but I think it helps kind of set the tone. This was taken by Ken Embry, who was sitting kind of in the middle of their auditorium. They had about 55 people there the nights. I spoke Thursday night, Carrie spoke Friday night, and then we both spoke on Sunday morning. So this just gives you an idea. Obviously, that's me speaking, and Victor's to my left translating for me. But they had good crowds at these services, and again, they normally meet on their evening, their midweek services normally on Thursday night, so they were able to meet on Thursday and Friday while we were there. This just gives you an idea of the people who were there. I'll tell you about the man in the middle there who's holding that red Bible. I'll tell you about him in just a minute. That's Sergio. And that's not a very good picture. It's not a very clear picture. But the reason I wanted to mention this to you, this is where the church in Alajuela meets. And the gentleman who's sitting on the row with Sergio is Eduardo. That's one of his brothers. The gentleman behind him is in the red and white striped shirt is Nadi. That's the first time, I think, anyway. It may not be the very first time, but those men came to hear us at some of the lessons that we gave on these particular nights. So that's a step, we think, in the right direction, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But that was a very good thing for us. This is a picture of J.C. Juan Carlos and his wife, Vanessa. And then the young man in the middle is Gabe. That's Sergio's nephew. He's the one who obeyed the gospel. He has been studying, and we've had several studies with him. Carrie Keenan has studied with him consistently through the opportunity of Skyping with him. Gabe's a very intelligent young man. He's hoping to come to school here next year. He's still trying to work some of those details out, but he's a very capable young man, speaks very good English, and has always, from day one, has been very interested in hearing about the Bible and hearing about the gospel. And so Sunday morning after services, we went to a property that's owned by one of Sergio's brothers, Miguel, and this was Sunday afternoon, really before we went to lunch. Right after services, we took Gabe, and that's his dad. That's JC, obviously, to his right. You see Victor in the sunglasses. You see Carrie in the red. I'm behind there. I'm not sure what I'm doing. I'm doing something. But we're at the pool, and we're getting ready to baptize Gabe into Christ. So Carrie took him, took his confession, and baptized him into Christ. And one of the interesting things about this that I wanted to share with you is that before this, we talked to Gabe with his father, JC, there, and his mother, Vanessa, there. And, of course, their background is not in the Lord's church, and they're concerned about what's going on with Gabe and what he's doing, but yet the more we talked and the more they understood what he was doing and the more we showed them what he was doing was according to what the Bible taught, they were very receptive to that. And so after it was over, he got out, and of course I hugged him, and everybody else there did as well. But that's just the exciting part to us about that is that's the first person in Sergio's family in Costa Rica who has obeyed the gospel. And we feel like that's a major step in the right direction. He's thought about it, and he's talked about it now for several months, and he finally did that. He told us he was ready, so he was baptized into Christ, which was a great thing. I'll tell you more about Gabe in just a minute. This is at the gentleman, and I don't have him, I forgot to get the pointer. The gentleman in the middle, in the back, is Santiago Soto. Santiago's the preacher. He's the local preacher there and at the church. And in the foreground on the end is his daughter, Abby, then his wife, Maricela, then Josue is his son to Santiago's right. Then that's his father-in-law, Gerardo, in the maroon shirt in front. And then in the very back, laughing, is Marvin. That is Santiago's brother. And all of these men are very interested in the work there. There's really three generations of people here who are interested in the Lord's work there. And this was a picture that was taken while we were at their house. We met with most of the men who are part of the church in Alajuela. And I just want to show you a couple of pictures. This is a picture. The next picture I'm going to show you is kind of the other side of the room. But we were in Santiago. You see Santiago in the background there. We were at his house, kind of on a patio that's in the front of the house, and we sat out there and had about a 2.5-hour discussion about leadership and about other things that we wanted to encourage the church there and the men there to be a part of. And I don't know if you can really tell that, but these men were very attentive to the things that we discussed. And so we had some good conversations. This is kind of the other side of that room. The gentleman in the red in the foreground is Ronald. He has his back to you in the picture. He's talking about some things. There's Carrie and me and Victor. But we're talking about some things that relate to the work there and to the church there. And really to the leadership that this church probably should be engaged in terms of the men being able to take more of an active lead. And so that was a lot about what our discussions were about. But I do want to say this to you. One of the ways in which we feel like we've made some progress is we have not, nor would we, but we have not come in there in any sort of way trying to tell them what to do. That's not our purpose. We wouldn't do that anyway. We've come in there. They've known from the very beginning. We want to help you in any way you can, any way we can. And what they've asked us to do is to teach and to work with them and just try to help them. And so that's what we've tried to do every time that we've gone. And it has worked very well. And Santiago told us, on this particular trip, he made it a point to tell us that he felt like that the trust is there, the confidence is there. They look forward now to us coming. And the first few times we came, there was a little uncertainty because of other people who have come in past times who maybe have come once or twice and then kind of left them and not come back. And, you know, when we went the first time, we told them that if we could, we didn't know what the future would hold. We didn't know about the cost to come and the time to come and all those kind of things. But we told them then, if it's where we can and we have the support to come and we have the time to come, we will continue to come back as we can. And I think one of the great things that we've been able to do, thanks to this church's generosity primarily, is we have continued to go. And so now we've built a trust and a confidence that we have now with each other discussing the things that they need to think about and that we all need to think about. So that's been a real plus as far as I'm concerned, and I feel like that's part of the progress that we're making in reference to that. These are some of the men who were there. The picture's not very good. I don't know what Sergio's doing in the background, but he's holding something. But anyway, not sure what that is. But there were probably four or five other men who were there, but these were some of the men who were there. And I think most of us are in that picture Ken Embry's in that picture as well. So all of us who went is in this particular picture. I show you this because, you know, we had to eat. That's just part of the process. And Victor, every time we passed a fruit stand, Victor had to stop, it seemed like. And this is just one of those stands. You see me in the gray, you see Carrie to my left in the red. We've bought quite a bit of fruit. As you see in the foreground, there's pineapple, and they were really good. I'm going to tell you, three of those pineapples cost $3. That's a pretty good deal. So we bought about 75. No. We didn't buy that many, but we bought several. And then we'd come back to the hotel at night and kind of as a snack. The ladies at the hotel were very nice and friendly and would cut a lot of that fruit up for us, so we were able to eat that. But, of course, that's just one of the perks about going down. You get all this great fresh fruit, and it's very good. You see some of the pineapple slices in the front. You see the watermelon in the back. So, of course, a lot of these vendors on the side of the road trying to make a buck as much as they can. I show you this picture because this is Jack Gagel's business. And it is in close to San Jose, but this is his Toyota parts business. And Jack has been in business there now for several years, and only recently did he become familiar with the fact that we were going down there. So he asked us, could he go? And of course, when you have a businessman who's there, who's a Christian, who has hired several, he's got several employees, I think he's got six or eight men who work for him, that's a great opportunity. And Jack has a condominium there. And when he goes on business, he stays there. He has a man who works for him in this business who also lives at the condo, who's also a driver for him when he's there. So there are a lot of advantages that having a man like Jack there and a presence there can be for us in terms of accommodations and drivers and things like that. And, of course, Jack is very willing to be used and to ask people to help us as much as we need that help while we're there. Jack, I think it's fair to say that Jack was a little bit overwhelmed by this whole process. He told me several times, he said, I just can't believe that people are this receptive to the gospel. And he was almost every time we had a study, we'd finish that study, and he'd just look at me and he'd say, I just can't believe that people react this way to the gospel. And so he was impressed, I think, in all the right ways and in all the good ways about trying to do more when he's in that area. He was not even aware that there were Christians who met there, and he's not that far away from there. He had made it a point to not travel on a Sunday when he was traveling to Costa Rica. He always made it a point to be home, but he said now that he knows there are Christians there that he would be more apt to try to stay and help them out. And I think they look forward, the Christians there look forward to that as well. But this is just one of the mornings. The gentleman in the red shirt that's got his back to us and hands on his hips is Rudy. That's the gentleman who works, he manages this particular business for Jack. And he's the man who also takes care of his condominium and lives in his condominium. But I got to be pretty good friends with Rudy. He's a native Costa Rican, but he lives in St. Petersburg here a lot of time during the year. So it was good for me to meet him. Of course, this is Jack in the striped shirt. Ken is in the white shirt. This is just a picture that was taken of them at the assembly one day. I took this picture. Santiago is the one sitting in the chair in the white long sleeve shirt looking at his Bible. That's his father-in-law, Gerardo, in the maroon. And then that's Josue. This is three generations of Christians. And that's kind of why I pointed this out. But I want you to see what Josue's doing. I mean, every time we'd ask them to turn to a passage or read a passage or we would allude to a passage, they were very intent on trying to follow what we were talking about. So I just feel like that's an important thing. What we're seeing there are people who are very interested in what we're trying to teach and what we're trying to do while we're there. So I was so pleased with the reception that we got. I'll show you this picture. This is one of Sergio's nephews. This is Abraham. This is Gabe's brother. And he's eating ribs for the very first time at Applebee's. They had an Applebee's there, and I was thrilled on Sunday afternoon to go to Applebee's for lunch. I will tell you that. and he's eating ribs for the first time. His dad, JC, who's Gabe's father, is one of the managers there. He's just gotten a different job with another company. But I show you this for this reason. JC works here, but he took his family here because obviously several of us paid for his family to have this meal. Matter of fact, yeah, I think Ken Embry paid for everybody's lunch that day at lunch. But JC has not taken his family because he can't afford to. And I tell you that simply because how many of us just take those kinds of things for granted many times? And I show you that just not to make us feel guilty about what we do, but just to help us understand and put in perspective maybe some of the things that many times we do take for granted up here. But he's a fine young man. As I said, his name was Abraham. These are three of the men in the church there, and I like this picture. The man standing next to me is named Eddie. It's a good Costa Rican name. The man standing next to him is obviously Santiago, and the gentleman in the red to Santiago's left is Ronald. And Ronald speaks pretty good English. He is a businessman, as is Eddie. I'm not exactly sure what they do, but they're very capable men. And they were obviously there that morning and also that several evenings when we got together with the men and discussed different things in reference to the work. The woman in the pink is Adriana. That is Sergio's sister-in-law. She's married to Miguel, who is one of Sergio's brothers. And Miguel is quite the businessman in Costa Rica. He's done very well. He's a very good businessman. He's an outstanding gentleman. We were in their home Monday night before we came home on Tuesday. And we just so much enjoyed that. They are, we've had some very frank discussions with Miguel and Adriana and that family in reference to the differences that we have in our faith. And we're hopeful that as we continue to go, that we will continue to have those discussions. If we can reach Miguel with the gospel, the way the Lord wants us to teach and to live, if we can reach Miguel, I think a lot of wonderful things can happen in this family. But Miguel's the glue that kind of holds the family together. So we continue to pray for Miguel, and I would ask you to continue to pray for his heart as well. The lady to the other lady in the picture is Yolanda. She works. Actually, she's at a development that Miguel has that he's working on, and she works there. She's at that property all during the day. But she was one of the first ones we met when we went to Costa Rica a couple of years ago. She was one of the first of the family members. She was one of the first studies we had. And you remember Santos and Nelly? I showed you that. We baptized them the very first trip. Santos and Nelly worked for Miguel at this particular location. They don't work there anymore. To be honest, we were not quite sure what's happening with that. Anyway, that's Yolanda, and she was back, and she always looks forward to us coming by, and we look forward to seeing her. Miguel is the man in the red shirt. This is at his house. Again, on Monday evening while we were there, we ate at his house. He grilled out, and it was just outstanding stuff. We had a lot of different things, but he's actually showing all of us, the young man that's blurred in behind him, the young boy is his son Isaac. Everybody else, of course, is in our party. I think I'm the one, either Kenny or I, one of the one taking the picture. But he's showing us a video of a young girl that he met at an orphanage in Nicaragua. He was talking to us about some work that he had done. He and one of his daughters, he had helped go to on a school trip. They had gone up to Nicaragua, which is the country that's north of Costa Rica, and they were up there, and he was just impressing upon us the fact that they'd spent some time in this orphanage, and it was just, he was showing us a lot of things that were very moving. They touched our heart, and Jack just wanted to take off that night and go to the orphanage. I mean, it was amazing. We said, well, Jack, no, you can't do that. You got to stay here and help us. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if at some point in time Jack just goes to the orphanage and spends some time there helping them, because he was so impressed with some things Miguel was sharing. But again, I just want you to be impressed with the fact that Sergio's family, on this particular trip, we weren't able to see many in Sayla's family. We're hopeful on the next trip to be able to do that, but we were able to talk to several in Sergio's family on this trip. That's just me and a dog friend that I met. This is at Miguel's house. I'm a dog lover, so I like the dogs there. This is at the church. This was a picture we took, I think, probably. This was, I think, Thursday night. And this was just a picture that I think somebody took from the front. And that's part of the group that was there. But again, they are very appreciative of us coming. And I think I'll show you something in a minute that might indicate that. Let me just mention these things. We're trying to reach more family members. I've got at the end of that Nadia and Lee study. Nadia is Sergio's brother, one of his brothers, and Lee's one of his sisters. They live there. And Sunday night, we were able to have a Bible study at the hotel with Nadia and Lee. And the good thing about this is that it lasted about 4 hours. It was a long study, and Santiago was there, Marvin was there, Josue was there. These are the three men who are part of the church there in Alajuela. And we know how important it is for those connections to be made. We're not there a lot. We may be there once or twice a year. So it's important for the Christians who are there to make contact with Sergio's family and Selah's family so that when we leave, they can continue teaching them and helping them. So as we were there that night, as we were teaching the class with Nadia and Lee, then Marvin and Santiago and Josue were there, and we're hoping that those connections are made so that a lot of good things can happen while we're there. They were so at the end of that study Sunday night, we literally, after it was over, I literally went up to Nadia and Lee. They were both there, and I sat down with them right there, and Victor was helping me translate, and I said, Victor, ask them if there's anything about what we talked about that they would disagree with. And they both told me, absolutely not. We agree with everything you said, which I thought was very interesting. And they had planned to come to Miguel's house Monday night. We were going to have another Bible study because it's what they wanted to do. And because it had rained so hard that day, they were unable to get to Miguel's house that night. So we were not unable to have that study, a follow-up study, but we're hoping when we go back to have a study again. But again, here's a brother and a sister of Sergio's who looked at me and looked at Carrie and said, we understand the things that you're talking to us about. So they're asking questions. We're giving them opportunities to, if they feel differently about something, to say, here's what I disagree with you about. And they can't. And we're simply trying to show them, here's what the Bible teaches. And so we're hoping that the progress that we can make continues. That's at least what we're trying. That's what we're hoping and praying about. When we go back, we want to encourage the brethren to reach out more. In a minute, I'm going to show you an email that I received from Santiago the day we got back, or maybe it's that night. And I think that will kind of tell you a little bit more about that. But I want to thank, obviously, I want to thank all of you for the support that you've given. I want to thank Selah and Veronica. Because for Sergio, and you can understand this, when we go, it's important for Sergio to go with us. It's important from a logistics standpoint. It's important from a contact standpoint. Of course, the joke is when Sergio goes with us, he's got a phone to his ear all the time. He's always working to try to get studies, to get contacts. Can we meet you here? Can we talk to you here? He's always doing that. And of course, he's the one who knows. He knows the area. He knows the people. So it's important when we go. It's very important when we go that he goes with us. And so to do that, he and his family have to sacrifice some things here. And we understand that. And I think, frankly, folks, I think I understand that a little bit better now than I did the first few times we went. So I will be talking to you maybe about some of those things. But I want to thank Selah and Veronica because I know when Sergio's gone, it puts a hardship on them, especially when he's gone for any length of time because they have to continue to work and to conduct their business and to make money. So those are things that we may have to consider as we get into this further. But I really do appreciate what they do. We obviously want to pray for safe travels for Sergio and Selah as they make this next trip. And then I want you to, if you would, to keep these future endeavors in your prayers. We're talking to the brethren there about next summer, about coming back and holding a gospel meeting. That's what we would commonly call a gospel meeting. But we're hoping to do it in a very heavily populated area. Alajuela, San Jose is the capital. Alajuela is next to it. The church meets in downtown Alajuela. There are people everywhere. Matter of fact, it makes it somewhat difficult on Sunday morning to even conduct a worship period because it's so loud outside with just people who are just walking and doing business. But there's literally thousands of people in that area. And we've got to find a way to reach those people as much as we can. And we're hoping to try to maybe next summer plan this to go down and invite people to come. Maybe try to rent a public venue in an area where everybody could come. We think that people would be very interested in just hearing about it, depending upon what we say we're going to have. A lot of people think that if we just invite people to come here, somebody preach, that they would certainly like to do that. And so we're hoping by doing that we can reach some people. We're hoping we can create some new contacts for people. And the Christians who are there, I think, are finally of a mindset that they understand what they've got to do. They understand that there's work to do. And that in order to get it done, they've got to be more active. They've got to be more aggressive about trying to reach people who are lost with the gospel. And I feel like that right now we've just got some momentum that we haven't had at any other time since we've been there. I want to show you this. This is the part of the email. It's not all of it, but it's part of the email that Santiago sent to us. I had written him earlier in the day and just told him about a few things. And this is what he said to me. This is how he responded. Now, it's the English is not very good, but hey, you listen, you can figure me out, so maybe you can figure him out. He said, "Thank God you're home. Maricela photocopied 300 pamphlets today. We'll start handing them out. We will fill the entire Alajuela with brochures and not afraid to take on hard work. Because whatever happens, you can help us. Now I have a lot of encouragement. And even if I am alone here in Alajuela, I will work a lot." Now this is the preacher. This is Santiago saying this to me in an email. And I have seen a pretty major change in him. He understands that as a preacher, this is his only obligation. He is supported. He's not supported by the church there, but he receives some support from, I think, one other church in particular. And so really the only job that he has is his job that he does as an evangelist. And he understands that he's got some things he has to do. And what he's saying here, he's telling us that he's going to do that, basically. "Another mistake I've been making is that all the work I do it in the church. But now we will do more men's meetings, and we will put young people to read the front, to pray, and do the work of preaching. For now, I will go in front of that, but I hope that little by little, I is on one side and they all grow up. For that reason is that you almost did not see me in front of the congregation during his visit. I hardly did anything." Now, let me translate a little of that. While we were there, Marvin was up in front of the church. Gerardo, his father-in-law, was up in front of the church. Josue was in front of the church. And Santiago kind of took a back seat. And that's because he's beginning to understand that he's not the pastor. He understands that. He understands, though, that he's got to help develop these other men, younger men and other men, to help in the cause. And so that's what he's trying to accomplish by saying all of this. He says, "I believe God sent you here, and so I'm very encouraged that the work will grow in numbers, zeal and wisdom." Way that you could notice zeal and wisdom in Joshua and Marvin. Those are his son and his brother. And so he is encouraged by that. And basically, I think it's a fair assessment. I think they're strong spiritually, they did not see themselves as really getting out and doing more in the community. They're kind of, I won't say they're just keeping house, but they're really trying to focus on making the congregation strong. And because of that, they have not focused on going out and reaching out to other people. So they are starting to see how important that is. And then he says, "Thank you for everything you do, even though we did not put a penny in for your visit. God will reward you. Thank you very much. Although I know that your greatest joy is to find us always strong and firm in the faith. Always in Christ, Santiago, Maricela, Josue, and Abby." They really do appreciate the fact that we're coming. And they appreciate the fact that we've not abandoned them. They appreciate the fact that when we say we're coming, they know we're going to come. That means a lot to them. It means a lot to us. And I think it's created, again, this trust and this open line of communication where we're making, again, the kind of progress that we were hoping to make. and that we pray to God we can continue to make, certainly with His help. None of this is about us. But again, it's just changed me in some ways that, I guess it's just the thing to say is until you do something like this, I don't know that it's, I can't hardly even explain it. But it's done some good things for me personally as a Christian, and I pray that the things that we've been able to do have helped them. And certainly, I couldn't do it without you. So I just want to share this with you. I want you to feel as though you are a fellow laborer, and you are, again, because you support me. And I so much appreciate that. But that's kind of the thrust of it. If you have questions that you'd like to ask us, Sergio would be glad to answer those questions. I'd be glad to do what I can to answer those questions. My plan is to go back, if possible, to go back in December. And I may, Carrie may not go with me then, but I'm planning to go back maybe the first part of December, and then if we can, again, try to go back in the summer. So again, if you have any questions, I would love to talk to you more about it. But I appreciate probably a year or so ago now, Brother Owen gave me a map of Central America, and he said, this is probably something you're going to want to put on your wall, because he understands that when you go places like this, it kind of gets in you, and it kind of gets on you, and then that's right, and you kind of look forward to going back and doing what you can to help. And so when I look at that, it kind of is a reminder of all the good things that are done with your help, certainly, for the sake of the gospel. We always impress upon them that the same gospel that we preach in Costa Rica is the same gospel we preach here, and they understand that. But again, I've seen the power of the gospel. I see it moving. I don't see it acting as fast maybe as we'd like to see it act. You know, people aren't being baptized quite as fast as we would like to see them being baptized. But you know, folks, there's a lot that we have to do. There's a lot of teaching that has to be done, and it has to sink in, and it has to work on the hearts of people. And I believe with all of my heart that that's happening. So again, thank you for your help in us doing that. But if there's somebody in this audience tonight on whom the gospel has had an impact, we'd encourage you to come. We always sing an invitation song. We do that simply by tradition, but we also do that because it's a way for us to encourage those who may want to obey the gospel to do that. And if you'd like to do that tonight, we ask that you come as we stand and as we sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high, someday you'll
seated.